The title of this message is Evil Times, Trust and Wait on the Lord. Life is hard, folks. It's hard. And the storms of life come for all of us. And each of us can experience these storms. Some can be anticipated, but many are taken, they take you by surprise. Yes. And these storms come in your life to really reveal your trust factor. You and I live in a time of much uncertainty about tomorrow. We do not know what the future holds for the economy, America's economy, or that of other nations. You may have a job today, but there's no guarantee that you'll have one next year, maybe even next month. That's how shaky ground things are in this world. Yet thank God that we as believers have been given an incredible promise of provision, particularly in a time when provision seems so scarce. We're living in an interesting time where our faith and how we live are going to be challenged. Do you hear me? The righteous seek to know God and to obey God. Obedience, right? But the wicked reject God. We see that happening before our eyes. They reject God's ways. The wicked reject God because the wicked want to be their own gods. And the wicked reject God's ways because the wicked want to do things their own way, not his way. Yet in the time we live, it's a frustrating reality that the wicked often prosper. They prosper. And the righteous, unfortunately, suffer. As it's been through the millennia, a thousand years and another thousand years. Since Christ came, you see the church and even before them. And it seems unfair, right? The righteous try to live God's way. The wicked reject God, live their own way. Yet the wicked often seem to have it better than the righteous. In fact, this will go all the way till the end. Read Revelation 17. You read how Mystery Babylon is thriving, and then it doesn't. The merchants, are thriving until it doesn't, and it's destroyed. Yet you and I have access to supernatural peace that God offers us that helps us cope with the current perilous times and the storm on the horizon of an economic crisis, that current worldwide economic crisis that will lead to digital currencies. It'll eventually lead to a world, one world currency, to a one world government, to the rise of the man of lawlessness whom we know as the Antichrist. We need to acknowledge all that's converging around in this world. It is biblical times. The storm warning for our day is in Revelation 6, 1 through 8. The dark, threatening clouds on the horizon point to the nearness of the time. The nearness of the time. The nearness of the four horsemen riding, galloping across the earth. We see deception over the last 3 years that has brought us with truth packaged with lies, trying to fight through it. Corruption, scandals, lawlessness everywhere. We heard on the news just yesterday, there was a shooting outside of where Sean went out for his birthday in Romeoville. Scene 75, I think is what it's called, the gaming place. Two people were shot, one died. We hear the drums of war pounding. We see inflation rearing its ugly head. It's going to intensify. You look at around outside. The farming in the Midwest actually is under intense warning that the crops are not going to be what they were. It's like the hurricane is out to sea, and it's already formed, right? Yet, if you're on the coastline, you still see the sunshine because it hasn't come in yet. You understand what I'm saying? It's out there, but then all of a sudden you see the water currents start to pick up, and you start to see the dark clouds start rolling in, and we clearly see that time approaching on our radar, And yeah, we're to be watchmen, we're to warn, blow the trumpet. And we can get caught up in sensational news, which is why we really need wisdom and discernment and self-control, right? Looking for the next big announcement, caught up in the times where we lose our focus, we can lose our peace, because we're not abiding. I found myself there this past week, not abiding. And yes, we need to occupy and redeem the time that we've been given. Ephesians 5:15 is clearly said, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Sometimes we're so busy serving and caught in the times, we can forget the right portion. That Martha and Mary story, right? Where Mary chose the right portion, because outside of Christ, our works have no eternal purpose. Yeah, there's responsibilities we have in this life that we're supposed to do, but we should be seeking the Lord for works that are righteous for Him, eternal significance for His kingdom, for His glory. And as Christians, we should have nothing to fear, because our God is in control and His plan is perfect. I'm speaking to your inner man today just as much as I'm speaking to my inner man today. It's easy to want to cut corners. It's easy to want to just throw up your hands. David himself was a man who lived in perilous times, evil times. And it seemed as if God's plans were thwarted. David had been there. He was anointed as king as a teenager. And he spent the better part of his 20s running from the ungodly King Saul, running for his life. It was almost like 10 to 13 years running for his life. The one who was anointed, the one God chose. You hear what I'm saying? And I think you learn some things when you have that kind of experience. On several occasions, David did the right thing by sparing Saul's life, only to watch Saul return to his comfortable palace while David's hiding in a cave. How about once he was king, his own son Absalom tries to usurp his throne? David wrote Psalm 37 to share his insights on this problem, these problems that he faced. This psalm reflects the wisdom that he had learned from the years of walking and trusting God. He was not perfect. Neither are we, okay? He was not perfect. We all have flaws. However, David would share how he would deal when it felt injustice was coming his way from a worldly perspective. This is God's word. Psalm 37 is like a roadmap on how we should live in the face of affliction. It's God's counsel to Christians who have been afflicted by evil people. And the psalmist writes, David writes in Psalm 37, he says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Don't fret. Don't worry about the ungodly. If you focus on the evil of this day, it will paralyze you. I felt it this week, folks. Anxiety creeping into my life. That word fret, in the Hebrew, you know what it means? It's a slow burn. It's a slow burn. Don't get worked up in a slow burn because the evil men seem to be prospering. In fact, we are told three times in this psalm alone to not fret the times. To not fret. Christians should not get angry or worry when the wicked prosper or when the lawbreakers go unpunished. For just as the grass is green for a season, well, maybe not this summer, right? Everything's brown out there. It certainly looks like trumpet judgment. It's at least a foretaste of it. But then they will wither, and so it will be for the evildoers. Christians must leave the judgment of others to the Lord. Because when we are judging others, we forfeit that personal intimacy with our Lord. Amen. And we fill our hearts with fret and worry. Your inner man is going to be edified from listening to this message. I can guarantee you this. There is something here for every person, whatever you are holding on to. There's a time coming, folks, where man's justice, the wicked, right? That their time is coming, okay? You trust the Lord in that. And man's justice has been twisted and perverted, but God's is not. God's justice is true. It's righteous. Whatever a man sows, so shall he reap. That's what the Bible says. But there's another part here. Though we should not be envious. Envious of the evildoers and what they have. This is like a self-check for some of you. Do you want what they have? Is my heart after what they have? Or is it after the Lord? Are we envying and perhaps wanting the things of this world? This is like a self-check where we look at our heart. Because sometimes we'll start to justify in our heart why the things of this world. Well, that's okay to pursue. And that's where compromise creeps in. We have to be careful on that. We seek the Lord first. Psalm 37, 3 through 4 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. I love that word, delight. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. Put your trust and delight in the Lord. Instead of envying the wicked or wondering why God has not held them accountable, David said God's people must trust him and do good for his glory. Trust is the ticket. It's a theme constantly throughout. Faith requires trust, doesn't it? Trusting in what he did on Calvary, amen? And it says do good. Listen, do good. You see evil in this world, and it's rampant, right? Our response is not to join in on it. We are to be salt and light. We're the counter to that. Are you doing that? Don't envy. Delight yourself in the Lord. Be delighted in the Lord. Trust, obedience, patience, humility can all be summed up in that phrase of delight yourself in the Lord. Be captivated with the Lord and all that he is. As we're worshiping, captivated in his majesty, captivated in the beauty of the Lord, captivated by his awesome power. Rather than focusing on the things which the world seeks, focus on the Lord. In gaining the Lord, you gain everything else you ever need. He will give you the desires of your heart. This does not mean he's going to give you your selfish heart desires. What happens is if you are delighting yourself in the Lord, then your desires will be in line with his desires. That's why Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, his righteousness, and all these things, all your needs will be added unto you. He made it clear, seek first the kingdom of God. That's Jesus' words. Seek to do the actual work of God on this earth. That should be our cry. That should be our action. God, what is your purpose in my life on this earth? How do you want to glorify yourself through me? Sometimes it's as simple as speaking the truth in the marketplace when everyone else is lying. Being honest when everyone else is crooked. Standing up when everyone else is bowing down. You had a choice, right? The last 3 years, right? You stood up. Stand up when everyone else is bowing down. Sometimes it's praying for family, friends, co-workers, people in your neighborhood, rather than ignoring the prompting of the Holy Spirit. This morning, thank you. Notice the verse tells us we are to seek not only the kingdom of God, but his righteousness as well. This not only includes the ability, but the heart and willingness to accomplish his work on this earth. What would you have me do, Lord? The answer is yes. What's the question? That's something my dad preached on. And sometimes we need to ask him for the heart to do it. Oftentimes what the Lord asks us to do is not easy. Sometimes it's very unappealing on our list of things we want to be doing. Lord, change my heart. Make it soft, not stony, that I can seek your way. Take me where you want to go. Give me your strength that I don't naturally possess. My own strength will fail me. Many of you, maybe, are the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now, knowing like this is, you need to be turning away from something that's taking your focus. It's robbing you of your joy. What you are in need now is the willingness to do it. And part of that is getting to know him in relationship, because we can be guilty of lovers and the lovers of self-society, where our lives are filled with so many other things that we leave no place for God. Guys are quiet. Psalm 37, 5 through 6. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. That trust, again, you're going to hear it a lot. Trust God. It's the theme constantly. It's a course of action. Commit our way to him. Give him complete control of every facet of our life. I'm guilty here. You know what commit in the Hebrew is? It's galal, which means to roll oneself something or something onto something or someone else, right? Peter probably had that in mind with this psalm when he wrote, cast all your anxiety, cast your cares on God because he cares for you. Casting our cares on God, rolling our burdens onto the Lord. Commit our way to the Lord. Committing our way to the Lord includes going to God in prayer, taking our problems to the foot of the cross, where it was all accomplished, where it was victorious, and leaving our problems there with God, not picking them back up. Seek his presence. Place our problems in his hands, those nail-scarred hands, and then trusting God will act in his time. And he will bring to light the righteousness because the Holy Spirit is within us that leads us in all truth. It's his way. Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, verses 7 through 8. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Rest in the God who deals with the wicked on his timing. Rest means to give it to the Lord. Don't defend yourself. It's him. It's not for you to bring upon the wrath. That just winds you up in the evil. Vengeance is the Lord's, not ours. James 1, 19 through 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Ouch. Rather, Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Resting and waiting is the hardest part, isn't it? We need patience. We need patience to have its perfect work in us. Resting in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. That's the hard part, the submission, isn't it? Submission. He doesn't act on our timetable, so we get impatient. And it honestly could take months, it could take years, it could take a whole lifetime for God to act and then to vindicate you. David, 10 to 13 years. Okay? But if you trust in Him to be a just and righteous God, if you submit to Him, then you will wait patiently. And patience will have its perfect work. And you'll be found wanting and lacking nothing. Have you not known, right? Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. For evildoers, Psalm 37:9, shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That's, we're to put on humility. The meek, right? The meek or humble means to realize that our own weaknesses, our own sinfulness, that we need to rely on the Lord, not ourselves. Guys have the hardest problem with that. We like to act in our own strength, macho man. I got this, Lord. Right? The awareness of our sinfulness means that we won't self-righteously judge the wicked. Apart from God's mercy, we would act just as they do. Amen? Tis grace. Tis grace. Our eyes have been opened. The scales came off, right? We are not self-righteous. We are Christ-righteous, right? We've been given His righteousness. So humility means being aware of our own inadequacy apart from the Lord. At the same time, our adequacy in the Lord, right? Outside of Him, I can do nothing, right? 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Meekness does not mean weakness. Okay? It doesn't mean that. It means brokenness. This past week, Caitlin was riding a horse. She did horseback lessons this past week, a horse camp. And she was riding on this huge horse, the biggest one in the whole group. But that horse is a parallel here. You see, a humble person is very much like a strong horse. It's powerful, yet submissive to the master's touch. Sometimes we get stubborn, though, and this horse, even with the master that was pulling its bit, it wanted to go the other way, right? Jen was talking about, like, every time it went by the opening, it wanted to go back. It wanted to go eat. It wanted to go do other things than ride the horse, or let Caitlin ride it. In abiding in our master, we can serve the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen?
Amen.
Blessed are the meek. That's what Jesus said. For they shall inherit the earth. The world says the opposite, right? Blessed are those who assert and take for themselves and stand up for their own rights. I see a lot of that today, especially this month. And the evildoers have their say right now. They'll flaunt their ways, they'll flaunt their fame, they'll flaunt their fortune. They'll flaunt their wicked ways in our face. And you get nauseated from it. But soon they will be gone. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's the meek who will ultimately come out on top. And out of that comes an abundant peace, which is like your soul is prospering. Not material riches, an abundance of peace. The person who finds his adequacy in the Lord rather than in himself or things has an abundant source of peace.
abide.
I did not have peace this week. The wicked part, you guys, this is going to be a longer message, so just get into it. We're going through the whole Psalm, so. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are upright conduct. The sword shall enter their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. Listen, we are victorious overcomers in Jesus Christ. The wicked will pass away. God actually laughs at their plans, like it says in Psalm 2. He just mocks, scoffs them, like, ha ha. Christians have been ridiculed, have been persecuted, have been derailed, have been mocked, have been scorned, belittled, like as weaklings who believe in a fictional God. And this is only going to intensify as we see the day of the Lord coming. That's why you all know what Harari talks about, wanting AI to write a new Bible, one that's true. It's like, because we serve a fictional God. But God is not upstairs worried about these wicked schemes or plans. He's not worried about it. The victories and the ground the enemy is gaining, it's all going to come to an end. I do find it interesting that the wicked here are gnashing their teeth. Isn't that? It's like a little dress rehearsal for eternity of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I also think about how Gideon and how the meek instruments of the Lord, it wasn't swords, it wasn't shields, it was a lantern, a ram's horn, and a pitcher, caused the enemies to fall on their own swords. God's ways are not our ways, but it says what's going to happen here. And God's day of wrath and vengeance is coming. That's why we need to have a heart for the lost. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. God's blessing is upon the righteous. You may have little on this earth, but you are rich in the Lord. Listen, my father, your father, paves the streets with gold. The things of this world are going away. Right? That's why John says, do not love the world or the things of the world. Everyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And this world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Psalm 37, 18 through 20. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadow, shall vanish into smoke. They shall vanish away. The reward for the wicked is here on this earth right now. It's temporary. But the inheritance of the righteous is eternal. The Lord knows the days are upright. He knows our time. Right? And he knows exactly where we are on his prophetic calendar. And he knows the goals he wants to achieve in and through us during the times of crisis that we see. There is a time of shortage coming, but God will provide. Even if he has to rain manna from heaven, he will provide. Amen. I need to be reminded of that. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. Blessing and cursing, that's the difference between the wicked and the righteous. It's not only revealed in whom they believe, but in how they behave. And if you trust in him, be a generous giver. If the Lord's blessed you, be a giver. Again, think of the inheritance. That we inherit the earth, but the wicked will be cut off. a millennium, 1,000 years, and then a new heaven, a new earth. Amen. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. God's guidance and support for the good, the righteous man. God offers his guidance to those who delight in him, to those who follow him. If you are following him, you will be seeking his perfect will. However, should we not heed his guidance, he will not abandon us, but he will uphold us until we return to him. And you think about Peter, right? It's not a permanent falling. Think about him. Lord, is that you bid me to come out on the water, right? And the Lord says, come. And he's walking on the water, right? And then all of a sudden, he turns from the Lord. He focuses on the waves and he starts to sink. And then what happens? The Lord reaches down. Is that what that says? For the Lord upholds him with his hand. The Lord reached down and picked up Peter. When Peter denied the Lord, he restored him. He picked him back up. For I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. This is pure wisdom from a man after God's heart. I have been young, but now I am old. That's like, I've seen some things. I've learned some things. Jack, Jeffrey, Caitlin, your parents have seen some things. Learn from them. That was the big difference between Saul and David, folks. Saul was not a man after God's heart. David was not perfect, but he certainly had his faults, did he not? But the difference was he was a man after God's heart. And God is ever merciful, and he provides for the righteous, not just for the righteous man, but for his family. They're blessed. He provides for the righteous, but sometimes, you know what? He can use hunger. He can use hunger to show his people their need for him, right? Think about the Israelites. He gave them just enough manna for the day, and then extra for the Sabbath. And like typical fashion of we like to hoard. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. This is a reward for obedience. God offers man a choice. Evil for the day. Live it out. Live your flesh. Enjoy it. Best life now. Yeah. Or do good, because that's going to be temporary. Do good and dwell in the house of God forevermore. Because God is a God of justice. Yes, he's love, but he is a God of justice. Again, Mystery Babylon seems to thrive, and then in one day judgment comes. Sodom and Gomorrah, one day judgment came. One day the door was shut and the flood came. God, in Psalm 7:11 says, God is the just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. 1 Peter 4:5, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Revelation 20:11-12, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. That's where your name is, saint. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books, because those works are filthy rags. Those works are filthy rags. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Thank God we have his righteousness. Because our works are filthy rags. And there's a great promise, right? It does not matter what you're going through. It could be the biggest battle in your life. But because of our faith, we know that God is with us every single step of the way. He preserves us. He does not forsake his saints. He's with us to the end of the age. Nothing separates us from his love. Amen? And as a believer, our blessed hope and trust is in God. It's in his sovereignty. It's in his mighty power. It's in his grace to see us through the hardest times in our life. He's a good God. He's a just God. No matter what struggles come our way, our God is greater and he is bigger than the worst that comes. He's bigger than the problems, folks. He's with you. God is with you. He has something for you. Something incredible. I have not seen nor ear heard what the Lord has for us. Amen? Amen. Even though the world might be falling apart around you, you can experience a peace in the presence of the Lord. Right? Last week, be still and know the great I am. There's nobody like him. And he's with you. And he's put his spirit inside you. That's awesome. That's awesome. You guys tracking? You guys still with us? Okay, all right. Verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. This is like the character and the response of the wicked, because the wicked are just watching to see if the righteous can guard their tongue. That's why Proverbs 15 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Think about what the process is here that David's been describing. David describes about doing good, right? In verse 27, those are righteous actions, right? And then righteous speech right here with wisdom in verse 30. And then righteous thinking in verse 31 about the heart. It's out of the heart what comes out, the inner person. First, what happens is our hearts change. They become soft to the Lord, right? And then speech comes out, and that leads to action that is of the Lord. Righteousness begins in your thought life, in your heart. God changes us by renewing our minds, gives us a new heart. It comes embedded in our heart, and then out of our mouth comes that hidden word that we've tucked away. So when the evil ones come against you, you don't slap, you don't come back at them with wrath. When someone wrongs you, rather than lashing out with cutting words, you speak words of wisdom that build up, that give grace. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You don't know what's going on in their life. Yeah, they may be wicked, they may be evil doing. And when they come against you, you might be the one, just because of your response, you may point them to the Lord. And thus heap coals on their head. That's not a derogatory thing, by the way. If your heart and your words are righteous, then your actions come in. Instead of responding to evil with evil, you will seek to overcome evil with good. That's what Romans 12 says. And I know it's not easy, especially when you've been wronged, right? You want to cut that person in two. You want to call down fire from heaven and consume them. Yes. Yes. Yes, Catherine. Yes. And even more so, you feel that way because in the New Living it says the wicked wait in ambush to kill the righteous. It's okay to have the righteous anger, but don't sin, right? But the Lord will not let the wicked succeed. Let the godly be condemned when they're put on trial. You see, there's going to be that great white throne judgment, right? In the end, we are pardoned by the blood of Jesus. Amen? The wicked, not so much. Not so much. Eternal fire. Their day's coming. So wait on the Lord, verse 34. And keep his way. He shall exalt you to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off, and you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. This is a call to trust in God's promises. Evil in wickedness will flourish for a season. Let's say 7 years, okay? But it will soon come to an end. And that end is not going to be enjoyable. While the names of those who perpetrate and orchestrate evil in this world, we all know them by name, household names, at least for the prophecy watchers, they may be known far and wide for a season with all their fame. They may be all over the headlines, but the time will come when their memory will be no more. Therefore, as Christians, we should wait upon the Lord for him to execute his judgment in his way and in his time. Heading down the home stretch here. Psalm 37, verse... Oh. Well, we're going to keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
Psalm 37. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. This is an invitation for others to gain the same testimony that we have. Observe the upright. You too can have the same marks as a believer for those who are watching us. They can have some of those same marks of love that the Savior has bestowed upon us. Because God is a God of justice, but he doesn't carry it out on our schedule. It's not our schedule. He wishes all would come to repentance. And in our struggle against the evil of our day, we must not lose sight of the fact that our eternal salvation is a gift from God. Yes. It's not because of our goodness. You're not better than the others. It's grace through faith. So when evil seems to triumph over good, we must learn to be as patient with God in his judgment of them as he was with his judgment toward us. Thank God he tarried so you could come into the fold. How many others? Oh, I'm back on. Okay, all right. How many others? How many others are coming into the Lord? But we want, like, come on, Lord, get to it. And I know, I'm this way too. Like, come on, let's get to it. Let's get out of here. Let's call down the vengeance. Stay in the Lord. Let's go. But you and I, when we take a step back from it, we have loved ones who don't know the Lord. And that should be the ever reality in our heart of wanting to lead them. Lord, save them. So maybe we need that patience. And there's a storm out there. Remember, I told you it would come out of nowhere. If you take refuge in God, you can trust him to judge the righteously and to vindicate you. So as we see the world crashing down, right? As the olive tree gets shaken, like We say that, who's your hiding place? When the wicked comes against you, you have a hiding place, your refuge, right? Even from last week, God's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It's Psalm 46, verse 1. He's our shelter, whom we can trust in. We can have his strength. He's our source, because the things of this world will fail you, and people will fail you. I learned that this past week. Too much confidence in man, in myself and some others, and not in the Lord. The source to all of his promises is in trust. It's in trust. That is the key, and that is faith. You need to trust. We needed to trust in the finished work of Calvary. The wicked may have plans, but the bottom line is if our trust is in the Lord, you and I win. Yeah. You and I win. And we'll be praising him forevermore. Yes. We're praising him now in the storm. When things seem out of control, know who is in control. He's working all things together for good. For good. It's good. Good. Right, Stephen, Katie? Good. It's good. That which you think is for evil, it's working something inside us far greater than we can understand. I don't know the day or the plans. I don't even know what tomorrow holds, folks. I'm living that reality right now. I kind of had my life kind of planned out and mapped out and expected how things are going to go. And the Lord is really saying, I'm shaking things. You need to trust in me. He's going to work something out far better than I can understand. I don't know how it works together. I don't know the ins and outs of the plans. I know I'm in his hands. And when I stand before him, I will look back and I will say, wow, that's how you worked it all for good. I may not understand it now. I may not understand it in this life. It might just be because one came to salvation and I see that person in heaven because they were watching how I responded in the storm. Trust is the ticket and wait on him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for your promises. I thank you for your wisdom of your word, Lord, that we would tuck it away deeply in our heart for the day in which we live, that we might glorify you in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts, Lord, in our thought life, that our hearts would be stayed on you, that we would trust in you and you alone, not by our own might, not by our own strength, but by your Spirit, Lord. Be with us this next week, Lord, as we go our separate ways, that we would glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.